Stay Spongy Show.
What is going on, everybody, and welcome to the Stay Spongy Show, where we learn and absorb as much as we can to help our music business and career. I'm your host, John McLucas, a music producer and mixing engineer out of Glendale, California. And today I want to talk about an exciting, maybe monthly or bi-monthly series that I want to do called Big Business Etiquette No-Nos, or I don't know honestly what I'm going to call it, but by the time I upload it, I'll have a much snappier, clickbaitier title than that. And before I dig in, I want to first shout out John Saltzman, one of my buddies, for recommending this as a series idea, because this is something that is just not talked about enough. I can definitely say in my encounters with people from all trades and all industries, there seems to be this gaping hole in general business etiquette, and just be able to take some stories from encounters I've had and being able to distill down with anonymity to the people that these interactions are with, and distilling it down so you get some good takeaways and some good things to possibly avoid when coming into these circumstances in the future. I want to start this series off by talking about a word that tends to get thrown around a lot in the music business and a lot in the creative industry world, and that is the collab. And if you are not familiar somehow or have not gotten asked to do a collab, bro, then this is a situation where typically both people involved are putting in their time and effort and energy into a product to hopefully then get some return if they land some kind of a deal, a placement, or it gets into some festival or somewhere with cash return. In my experience, this is never a situation where somebody is paying for a service from the other. A collaboration means the combining of both of your skill sets into one product at the end. So the reason I'm explaining all of this is fairly obvious, I'm sure. This is a situation that happened to myself where somebody approached me and they said, hey, I want to collab with you. I want to just help you. I love what you do. I love your message and I love where I see you going and I want to collab and I just want to help. And the collab part was what I interpreted as being, okay, cool. This person just wants to do me the favor, provide some value and give me some things. I won't go into it. And so I graciously said yes. We go into talking more, and then he drops that he was intending to get paid for it. And I want to start off before digging in that I always believe that people who provide a product of value or a service of value should be compensated for it. I have no issue for that. My entire career producing and mixing is based off of a service business in a creative industry. And I understand that value and hold myself to that same value. But, and a big but there, is there a Sir Mix-a-Lot joke in there? I'm not even going to try. But the issue that I found with it was the fact that it was originally framed as a collaboration and a, hey, I want to help you out. I want to help you grow. I think I can do something great for you. And then as we got into it and partway through the entire process, it became, oh, okay, so here's what I normally charge and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then that entire conversation started. And honestly, I felt extremely conned in a way because this is somebody in a situation where I just didn't see it coming. And then it also feels very slimy halfway through a project to then be told, oh, before you get this thing that you've been looking forward to, I forgot to tell you this big price tag that's attached to it. You know, I didn't mention it at all before that it was even coming, but, you know, here it is. Just take your time with that, though. It really stung, and that's why I'm talking about it now, because you should never put yourself in that situation where you are talking about the money too late in the game. You know, anybody who's had me produce their music, had me mix their music, knows that I'm very, very, very upfront, and I really try to over-communicate everything that goes into the project, what they get, what I'm charging, everything that's going to be laid out, the expectations on my end and their end, so everybody's held accountable and there's no gray area, and it's all solved before any files are sent. And that is an amazing, amazing place to be. And this is opposed to going the other way with it, where, yeah, you might get more people interested and you can start working on more projects by sidestepping the money conversation. But at the end of the day, it's going to be really awkward and you're probably going to burn a few bridges and lose some connections and possible referral sources by waiting until, you know, the ninth inning to bring up money. And within the realm of the money talk, something that I had to learn just by trial and error was being able to talk about what I do, exactly what the person gets, and the money associated with that. And that's a very important part of this whole equation. If somebody asks what you do, it's okay to not have an exact total answer. Because honestly, when somebody comes to me and says, hey, can you do my EP? You know, quote, doing an EP can mean so many different things and could be five times more work than what they might mean, or could be five times less work than what they really mean. So there's a lot of discovery that has to go into that conversation, and then figuring out, okay, you know, this. All right, so then you'll probably be sitting around here, but we do need to have a more in-depth talk. And that's another thing that came up in this situation that I experienced was money got brought up, and I was like, okay, you know, we got it settled. And then I asked, after that entire project was done, okay, just curious, what are your rates just down the line in case I do want to know? Because the person's very talented, and it may be something I'd want to consider down the line. So they then responded with, what's your budget? Which I understand. I mean, there's a whole conversation, and I think it's been had enough about, you know, the budgets that people bring are often a reflection of your value. And if you don't ask for what the budget may be, you could be leaving a lot of money on the table. But again, this is a hypothetical where I just said, hey, you know, what are your rates for projects in the future? And then, so my response is just, well, I don't know. These are fictitious projects. Do you have like a general range of anything? And then that is why I now, in my mind, have a very broad range of what my services could cost, from could be twice as much, the tail ends of the range. But it's really important. So when somebody says, hey, John, what, you know, I'm looking to have some songs mixed. I got 10 songs. What is it going to cost? You know, of course, it could be anywhere from just $50 a track, if it's a few elements and it's very simple, it's very straightforward, to a couple hundred if you're looking at a massive, dense song with 100 tracks or even more. So at the end of the day, I might give them a large range and say, hey, this could be anywhere from $800 to $2,500, but I need to know more. And then I'll start asking questions. So then it's not like I'm avoiding the situation of money. It's, hey, this is all I can tell you right now. I'm trying to be as forthcoming about money as possible. Now, let me ask you a few questions so I can narrow that down for you. And then that puts you in the position of serving the customer and serving your potential customer, I should say, and being as open and honest when it comes to money as possible. This is just an age-old problem that I see with people where it feels uncomfortable. And that brings me to my next point, which is being confident about the value that you bring. Because when somebody asks, oh, okay, what, you know, what does it cost for service X? And you get all stammery, or you're nervous to talk about it, or you dance around the question, it just doesn't bring confidence to the possible customer that you're going to do it well. And I know, the fact that you're nervous about talking money doesn't mean that you're any more or less qualified, but it's about the perception of value when you are getting into sales. So if somebody says, what are your rates? You should have it in the back of your mind. Well, my ranges are this and this, and this is what I do, but I'd have to ask more. And that's why it's important. It really should only take 15 minutes to figure out the variety of things you do and a general range based on maybe the last 6 to 12 to 18 months. So in that way, somebody comes and you say, okay, you know, I have a PDF for it. So I can say, yeah, here's a general PDF. It's going to give you some ranges. I'll just tell you what I think you're looking for now. Then let's talk. And so having that PDF, or even a PDF that's maybe screen capped into an image on your phone, depending if you do a lot of stuff through Instagram, you know, then being just ready to go, it just feels so much better than somebody saying, well, you know, it just really depends. You know, I'm just not sure if just depends on things, and like that, just any indecision with that being does not look good. So being confident, knowing what your numbers are, is a very, very good idea for you. And also, if you've seen enough Shark Tank, if you see anybody go in there without knowing their numbers, they get absolutely smashed. And I'm a big Shark Tank fan, so I had to mention that. And that's why I've always been very adamant on knowing your numbers super, super well. Now, the last situation I want to talk about is the overcommitment of free work. And there are so many good reasons to be doing free projects, but the overarching concepts of doing anything for free is to, one, keep it small, make sure it's with people you enjoy and a project you enjoy and a variety of other things. Maybe you can ask for shout outs and other things in response instead of cash just to gain your portfolio. But a lot of people who are newer may not be as confident when it comes to talking money, like I talked about before. It may not be as confident when it comes to holding your ground as a small project gets inflated to a large one. And this is something I personally have fallen to myself, as well as a lot of other people around me. It's very easy to just continue to be a yes man to your detriment when it comes to doing a small free project. You might have said, hey guys, come in for, you know, a few hours or 4 hours and let's, you know, lay down some guitar and program some drums and see what we can make happen. And then all of a sudden you've kind of blinked almost and now you're doing three songs, you're recording it all, you're mixing it all, and somehow you've agreed to do it all for free. And that's bad because it's just too much giving of yourself without getting anything in return. And if you find yourself in this situation now, unfortunately, it's just a really difficult thing to backpedal on. You can, and you should, as best as you can, but it is definitely difficult water to tread because they're expecting that from you now. If anything, I've taken a couple of those situations where I gave more than I should have, you know, during the midst of a project just to be like the cool. Yeah, everybody wants to be the cool guy. Like the, oh yeah, oh, I got you, no problem. Oh yeah, you want to just throw down some more guitar? Oh, cool, no problem at all. And then it gets very easy to let things get out of hand. And then now you're looking at your scope of work. And it's like, wow, So I would very much encourage anytime you take on a project outside of the money, this goes for whether it's free or whether it is a paid project, to have some kind of system in place to where everything that you are expected to do is completely laid out. Something I've been using for this is Better Proposals. And this is an online software where you can send out multi-page proposals that outline everything that you do for a company, you know, or as a company, as a service provider, and then you get their digital signature to agree to it. You can have even a page of your house rules if you're a studio, or your expectations, you know, all those kinds of things can be laid out and you have them digitally sign and agree to it. And that is a great way to stop these kinds of situations from happening. If you don't want to get that fancy because it does cost money, especially if you're early in the game, the extra overhead can be stifling. So I would say to even just have a canned email where you send it out and say, hey, looking forward to doing XYZ with you. These are things to keep in mind, just my general rules that I have set in place so everybody has a good experience and everybody walks away super stoked with the product we've created. And then again, these are just boilerplate terms and conditions and things that you'll be giving them and laying out what you may not be giving them. Because if you are an engineer who's recording for 4 hours, having a band come in for free, would be really great to have an email going to their band email saying, hey, looking forward to our session. Just wanted to follow up with these ground rules I have for the studio and just for this small project. There's no mixing included. There's no editing included. You are happy to walk away with the raw files if you don't want to do anything else. No smoking, no pooping on the carpet, and all the rest of your ground rules that you want to have. Then that way, nobody's in this awkward situation where they've asked for more and you've given more and then you start to resent them. They know exactly what they get for free, or they know exactly what they're paying for, and you know exactly what you are getting yourself into. So again, Better Proposals, an email that you copy and paste, even if it's just an unlisted page on your website, somewhere laying that out for them. So there's absolutely no question about what's expected. Okay, so let's review a couple of the big business etiquette no-nos, or whatever the heck I call this thing by the time it comes out. The first one is to avoid having the money conversation later in a project. This should always be brought up in the very, very beginning once somebody has expressed clear interest. Personally, I like to do it more on a phone call than just through text or DM, but you know, if you do it over there before it gets out of hand, just make sure you're upfront with the pricing so nobody feels slighted or conned by the time you get to talking about money. Two is to know your numbers. And this is just happens all the time, especially in a world where the numbers are so fluid and not set. It's easy to just brush it off and think you don't need to know your numbers. But I would argue that it's even more important for you to know because it's more vague, and you should be able to hit any situation that comes up very concisely and know exactly, even if it, or not exactly, you shouldn't be able to know the range of what that person's going to be looking at for their investment before they move forward and before you spend more time moving forward too. That way, out in the open, nice and simple. Three is avoid ambiguity. And what that means is to be extremely clear with either a proposal, software, service, or an email that you copy and paste, or a website URL you link them to, so they know exactly what they are getting in for, what's expected of them, and what you are delivering or giving or providing them in return. And again, if you look at this, you pull back everything that I've talked about. This is all just, the big no-no here is not being upfront. That's the entire thing. The no-no is just hiding anything because it's a little uncomfortable for you to talk about now and causing these really uncomfortable conversations down the line. So if you can just try your best to over-communicate, which is what I've done, and it's been absolutely wonderful because I've never had anybody ask what exactly they're getting. And now people don't have to ask these kinds of questions. It just saves a lot of time, effort, energy, and grief. And I do want to just close this up by saying I didn't start by doing any of the things I laid out. I made all of these mistakes, and I'm sure I will again at some point make them, but this is a sobering reminder for myself and hopefully a either reminder or a first talking to about these situations so you don't have to go through these experiences as much yourself. With that being said, I want to say thank you for tuning in to this week's episode. If you found it helpful, it would be great to have you jump over to the Stay Spongy Show Facebook page, which is facebook.com/groups/Stay Spongy Show, or you can simply look up Stay Spongy Show in the Facebook search bar. You'll find the group there. We have a weekly discussion thread where you can go and talk about everything that you heard today. And it's always fantastic interacting with people who have heard the episode, hearing their insights and takeaways from it, as well as some of their experiences. So if this is something you'd be interested in participating in, it's every Monday, the day the episode goes live, we have our thread in there. It is facebook.com/groups/Stay Spongy Show, or search Stay Spongy Show in the Facebook bar. Besides that, have a shloopy doopy. That's not anything. I'm also going to shamelessly plug right now my YouTube page and Instagram, because those are great places to be keeping up to speed with the immense amount of content I'm putting out every single week. We have the podcast on Mondays. We have YouTube videos on Tuesdays and Thursdays. So if you go to YouTube and just search my name, John McLucas, JohnMcLucas, you will find my channel. It is my goofy, beautiful face with a blue background, as well as the Instagram handle, John_McLucas. So then you can see I am very active in Instagram stories and just love participating in the Instagram circles that I have there. So with all of that and shameless plug central being done, I hope that you have a fantastic week and a great beginning to your 2019. I know we're in week 2, but you know what? I still hope it's a great start to the year. Now get out there, work hard, and stay spongy.
Stay Spongy Show.